Yep.
So just a quick thought. You were just mentioning about sisters taking up their place alongside their husband in terms of the truth. So you're telling me that Carol should know the same level of teaching that John has?
Oh, that's what I know.
No, actually, the truth is she knows more than him. But she takes his her proper
place. The only one exception, she married me, she didn't know well.
But the point that the verse that Brother Alfred mentioned in Romans chapter 16, mm-hmm. it is really so powerful that they both, in love, displayed by willing to die for mm-hmm. the Apostle Paul. I mean, this is something. It's one thing to be hospitable and to invite people to your house. It's even one thing to teach somebody like Apollos the way of the Lord in a more distinct way. But to be completely devoted to the cause of Christ, to be willing to lay down your life. I mean, this is an example of Christ. This is an example of the Apostle Paul. And that's why she was mentioned first. The love and affection to Christ that was displayed, that he said there in chapter 16, not only I'm very thankful, but the whole churches of the Gentiles. I mean, they somehow, the scripture doesn't tell us exactly what have taken place. We'll find out when we get in heaven, how do you really save the Apostle Paul's life? But that it was a tremendous help to the continuation of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But that's really the matter of devotion. You see, if you give your life first, then everything else is easy to give. If that was characterized of the, was it the Thessalonian, that they gave themselves first to the Lord. That's why material things were so easy. They gave themselves for the Lord, so the life itself was not so precious unto them that they were willing to give it up for the Apostle Paul.
This is a good example of what marriage ought to be.
Yes.
In faithfulness to each other, because everywhere we read of Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila, it's always both together. We never see one without the other. Now we know that there are times when husband and wives are separated in the sense of I go to work, another goes to work, obviously. But to show faithfulness in the marriage, I believe we get a good example there where they are doing things together. And we never see them, the husband going one way and say, oh, I'll teach Apollos, you go do something else. It's not there. We get the faithfulness to each other, faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the brethren.
And when we take hold of the qualities of Apollos, I mean, elegant, knows the scriptures, all these things, you would say to yourself, another example of a faithful brother, he could have said, do you know who I am? I mean, all the things that I do, the way I preach, you know what? He was a very receptive brother. And how wonderful to have such a spirit in a faithful way, to be receptive when we are corrected in the things of the Lord. And for her as a sister and a brother, to bring a man like this and to instruct him. What a great wisdom they had in it. Because this work was done in a very wise way for them to win Apollos and to bring him into something greater than where he was. Because after this we read that the brethren have written to receive him. So how wonderful to see that it is a work of a...
Yeah, John, I would say that they showed grace. Because this man was loud in the synagogue, bold, and they were listening to him. They could have cornered him and said, hey, whoa, that wasn't right what you were saying, and made a scene out of it. But instead they took him in and they taught him. How gracious that was.
And we could just briefly trace the history of this couple. In Acts 18, we're told that Paul met them in Corinth. Why were they in Corinth? Because they were from Rome,
right.
And the Roman decree was, all Jews must depart from Rome, Acts 18, verse 2. So they left Rome, they come to Corinth, it just happens, as we would say, as others would say, not we, believers, it just happens, there they meet the Apostle Paul. They didn't know each other before Acts 18. They travel with Paul to Ephesus. There was no Christian gathering in Ephesus when they arrived. Paul goes to the synagogue. speaks with the Jews there. He does not stay long, but Aquila and Priscilla stay in Ephesus. They're in Ephesus when Apollos comes to Ephesus. And therefore, they're available to teach Apollos the way of God more perfectly. The greeting that we have in Romans chapter 16, obviously it's to people in Rome, right? Romans 16, it says, greets Aquila and Priscilla. They got back home, apparently. He meets them in Corinth. They travel with him to Ephesus. By the time he writes the letter of Romans, they've been able to get back home. Mm-hmm. One might say, what a tragedy that their lives were upended. They had to leave Rome, go to Corinth, then they travel with Paul to Ephesus. Now finally they get back home. No. Their lives were upended so that they would be in Ephesus when Apollos came, so that the brethren could be established in Ephesus. There was a small gathering there when Apollos came. It was mentioned the brethren wrote, so there must have been some believers that Aquila and Priscilla helped to mentor and disciple after Paul left. When Paul comes back, it's where he spends the most time of any place, is in Ephesus. Their lives were upended, but they were just faithful wherever they ended up. Again, similar to Joseph. Wherever he ended up, I'll be faithful here. They're faithful in Corinth, they're faithful in Ephesus. Now finally they're back in Rome. I'm sure that they never said, what a waste of a few years of our lives, we had to travel around. Too bad we couldn't have stayed in Rome the whole time. No, God used them. He upended their lives, or allowed this decree to upend their lives, and they simply said, where we are, we'll be faithful there.
And they were faithful until the end, because in 2 Timothy 4, you see them in Rome, and then Paul could say, salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. So they were faithful believers in Rome, even at that time, and Paul was forsaken by many, and here he could commend them again. They kept faithful.
Faithfulness also is, we've been looking at these different attributes and features. We come to Tychicus. Tychicus. Depends on how you pronounce it.
The C was left out on this list. Tychicus.
But there's some interesting things about Tychicus.
Just call him the brother.
But what's really wonderful about it is this couple of things that come out with regards to these two texts with regards to Tychicus. Paul uses the same expression in both passages about how this brother was faithful, and by his word he would communicate to the saints all of the Apostle Paul's affairs. One of the things about, you know, we talked about faithful witness in terms of the Lord Jesus. How often do we, when we relate a story or relate information, we either downplay it or exaggerate it? Here, this brother, he was able to accurately tell of the Apostle Paul's affairs to the brethren, that the brethren might be settled in their own minds as to the Apostle Paul's welfare and well-being. So this matter of faithfulness is also being true to the reality of the circumstance and communicating it without playing it down or without exaggeration.